And good morning to you.
Good morning.
It is indeed a beautiful day. Great to come together to worship our God, amen. Spirit and in truth. If you are visiting with us, we are so happy to have you here. If you have any needs, well, let us know and we will do our best to fulfill them according to Christ Jesus. If you are a member here, we are excited to see you. You just do us so much good by your presence. And very thankful to God to see those who have been struggling with illness back with us.
Amen.
Jim, cut out the hugging. For just a little bit. For just a little bit. Not forever. In fact, we did shake hands, didn't we? We were told we couldn't do that anymore. We did. And we've got spray for the hands right in the back there. You might want to get a hold of that after we shake hands. But anyway, we adjust and we move forward, don't we? Did you know that the Bible encourages us to love life? Were you aware of that? It is interesting how God presents all aspects of life. The bad and the good. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't shade anything. He doesn't cut corners. He tells us the truth. But he tells us the whole truth. He tells us all that there is. And that includes all that there is about life. He says that there are evil days. He says, don't make the mistake of saying, why were the good old days so good and so much better than the days today? He says, that's just not smart. Don't do that. He also says, now enjoy your good times, but remember there are going to be bad times. And there will be. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, our Lord said. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But it also says, loving life is a good thing. Loving to live is a blessing and a pleasure. Every living thing wants to keep on living. Did you know? Nothing that lives wants to die. It just doesn't. It all works to keep on surviving. Human beings are no different. To know, to taste life, that's a good taste, and nobody wants to give that up. Those that think taking their own life is a better course for their life. In a twisted, sad, distorted way, they are thinking that their life will be better if they kill themselves. But it's still a love of life that's going on inside of their misdirected thinking. Animals don't want to die. They live to keep on living. And yet, death is a part of everything. It's the way it goes. God doesn't hide that from us. In fact, in the New Testament, it's plainly declared that to live, we have to die. But die to ourselves. So that Jesus may live in us, so that eternal life will be our reward. The realization of what our hope is to be about. But if you don't love life here, I don't know that you think about loving eternity. Loving the idea of living forever. I don't think those two go together. If you hate your life here so that you wish you were dead and everything's terrible and why are you still breathing, I don't think such an individual is thinking, oh, won't heaven be glorious to get to live forever? And those are two diametrically opposed ideas. If you love life, you're ready to live forever. If you don't love life, then you're crippled. And emotionally, that can hurt you physically. Do you remember the story of the lady who died and had it put on her tombstone? I told you I was sick. Some people live to die, and it's their ailments that they want to wear like a badge. And when finally that comes, it's, well, she told us that she was hurting, that she was bad off. Of course, it was 20 years later, but still, it's how things go. How do you love life? There is a lot of problems going on. There's a lot of pain in the world. There's a lot of harm taking place. How do you love life? How are you able to love life? Well, it's God who teaches us to love life. He is the one who instructs us what it means to love life. And really, it's all attitude in everything. It's all a matter of the heart. It's all a matter of how you see it. The difference between the eagle and the buzzard as they fly high is what they look for. The buzzard looks for the rotting carcass. The eagle looks for whatever will satisfy his needs. The eagle gets our admiration. The buzzard, we just, if they're in the road, we just want to run them over. They're in the way. They just make our skin crawl sometimes. Waiting, circling us, waiting for us to die, to be a carcass. No, we don't. The eagle is what catches our admiration. So how do you look at things? Decides everything. God shows us how to look at things so that we can love life. Whatever pain, whatever struggle, whatever problem. Now, that means we won't shed tears. That means our heart won't ache and break. But it does mean that those feelings of hurt and outpouring of sorrow will never conquer us. Won't beat us. Because there'll be that undergirding of strength. Rejoicing in the good. Loving life. So let's look at some things. Turn, please, to Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. I love the first part of chapter 3. I want to read it to you. This is from the Holy Spirit, by the pen of Solomon. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what's been planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now look at verse 11. Same chapter. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Paul stresses the need to be thankful. He does this in the Colossian letter. Repeated, be thankful, be thankful. How can you be thankful when you're hurting? How can you be thankful when people are wanting to kill you? How can you be thankful when you don't know if you'll have your job tomorrow? How can you be thankful if you just don't feel safe? Well, the first big thing you look at is there's always something to be thankful for. I hate using the phrase, but it makes the point so well. Things could always be worse. They could, you know. Oh, it's so bad. I'm having such a hard time. Well, look for the good, because remember, it can always be worse. Well, so what does that mean, look for the good? You'll find something to be thankful for. Remember, evil doesn't. You'll find something to be thankful for if you look for it. You'll find something to be thankful for if you look for it. And there will always be something to be thankful for. Ask the Lord to help you see it. Ask Him to help open your eyes and soften your heart. Get your mind off yourself. Off your pain. Get your mind off your troubles. And look at the good that's around you. Look at what's beautiful around you. And from that point, you will be able to see beauty even in the hard times. There's beauty in the hard times, yes, sure is. Hebrews 12 says, and 1 Peter 1, these passages say the hard times make us stronger, make us better fit for service to our God, make us better prepared for heaven. That's a beautiful thing, don't you think? He has made everything beautiful in His time. And I'm confident that phrase relates to all that we read before in the first part of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. Every aspect of life that is put before us has its own beauty. The snow, absolutely gorgeous. The rainbow. The dark clouds even have their beauty. And certainly the blue sky. Beautiful. Beautiful. Babies are beautiful, aren't they? Just wonderful. But you know something? A life that's aged, even with back bent, hair gray or loosed from its place, even that person's beautiful. If that life has been lived in righteousness and devotion, that has a beauty about it that is sometimes breathtaking in its beauty. To know that God has made everything beautiful in this time opens your eyes to look for the beauty in every day. The more beauty you see, the more of life you'll love. Now let's go to another passage. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is an admonition to those who are rich. Somebody says, well, that didn't apply to me. Well, if you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat today, and if you don't have to worry about staying warm, you're rich. Verse 17, 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Don't trust in your possessions. Trust in the God who loves you, who has given you those possessions to help others, to help you in service to others. The living God who gives us, all of us, richly, gives to us richly all things to enjoy. Now that's quite an interesting point. In Romans chapter 14, Paul says to the Roman church, there's nothing unclean of itself. Well, that's fascinating. What does that mean? It means that God didn't make anything dirty. Remember, everything has its own beauty. He's made all things beautiful in their time. In their time, everything has its place. Every action has a purpose. Every desire has a proper fulfillment. That's part of beauty that's being talked about. But also, if it's going to get dirty, if it's going to get defiled, it's because it's being misused. It's because it's not being handled according to the purpose for which God made it. So keep it in its purpose, keep it according to its nature, and it is clean, useful, enjoyable. As God has not made anything unclean of itself, so he has made all things to be enjoyed richly. That aspect of richness in 1 Timothy 6, after talking about the rich, means that life isn't just for the rich. It's not just for those who can jet set to Bermuda or to the Riviera in Europe. It's for everybody. The richness of life is for everybody to enjoy. You realize that God has made life for you to that purpose, you'll start loving it. Some people think that their pain is what they're supposed to be about, so that means that they'll wear that pain like a badge, and they'll complain about their pain and their suffering and their troubles. They won't really care about anybody else's pain. It's their pain that's got to matter. So it'll be all about them. And then they wonder why they don't feel like getting up in the morning. Enjoying life is part of loving life. Look for what God has given you and realize that he's given it to you to enjoy richly. Whether it's food, whether it's a good bed, whether it's a nice home, nice car, praise your God who enables you to take hold of these things and enjoy them. Don't be selfish with them. Don't think you've done it by your power and your mind. Understand that God is the one who's the source of these blessings. But then in that knowledge, enjoy it. And revel in the love of God seen in these things for you. And if you see someone who could use these things, who doesn't have them, and you're able to share them, share them. You enjoy this too. I have it, I can share it with you. Anything wrong with that? Sounds like the way our God wants us to be. And then, application. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Beautiful verses, these. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and following. Written to young Christians. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as family, brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, return blessing for reviling. Return good for you. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. The inheritance he's already talked about in 1 Peter 1. Eternal life. And then verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. First thing you do is get a bridle on that tongue. Stop talking whatever comes to your mind to say. And start controlling your speech. Start making sure it's going to be beneficial. Edifying in Christ. Encouraging to the good. Keep away from slander. Certainly keep away from blasphemy. Talking bad about God. Taking His name in vain. Don't be caught up in lying. Stay away from those things that tear others down. Don't talk that way. You think somebody's got to be torn down? Tear yourself down. Make fun of yourself. Concentrate on building up others, lifting them up, showing them a gracious word that they can take to heart. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Not simply a matter of talk, but a matter of practice. A lot of people talk a good religion, but how do they act? Make sure that your desire is righteousness. Make sure that what you do is therefore what is right in God's eyes, according to His New Testament. Then seek peace. Seek the welfare of others. Seek peace with others. Get rid of the warring mentality. Stop trying to pick fights. And instead, seek how people can come together. Build bridges. Show compassion and a place at the table. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace doesn't just happen. You got to want it. And you got to work for it. Then, God willing, you'll be blessed with it. And that's a good day, isn't it? When there's peace.
Amen.
When what the words that you hear around you are encouraging words, not discouraging words, are words of righteousness, and truth, and love. Verse 12. Because, you see, to love life and see good days is a gift from God. As hopefully I've already put forward. He's made everything beautiful in His time. He gives us all, richly, all things to enjoy. All that from God. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It is always good to understand that our lives are in God's hands. It's always good to understand that there are going to be bad days, that there are going to be troublesome days, troublesome times, that there's going to be pain as well as pleasure. But look to the good. See the beauty that's in all of life. Realize that if God has put it in your hands according to its proper and natural use, it is to be enjoyed, and so enjoy it. And if you have to do with that, know that God would have you learn the discipline and the focus of heavenly things. But you won't have to do without for long. Because He is happy in our happiness. He is delighted in our encouragement as we hold on to Christ. Peter's point. Loving life and seeing good days boils down to being a faithful Christian and seeking more of that in your life. I hope everyone can leave here delighting in life. Delighting in the days you see. Whatever trouble might be in store for you, it's only a learning situation. It is never a real obstacle, and it's not certainly anything to really hurt you. Only something for you to learn from, step on to higher glory, higher understanding, better grasp, purer faith. Folks, that's worth rejoicing.
Amen.
That's a happy Christian. That is someone who loves life. I hope I've helped you to that. If you're here, you need to respond publicly to the Lord's wonderful invitation to obtain salvation by the forgiveness of your sins. Would you baptize into Christ this hour? Christian, you need prayers on your behalf from the saints. Let's pray about it. Somebody says, I am burdened. I do hurt. It's hard for me to get up this morning. Well, let's pray about it. What do you need? Come home and say this.
I am thine, O Lord.